You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Fun with Fritz. My name is Fritz. I'm sitting in a basement. I can see the sky. The clouds are moving so quickly that they're pushing over trees and licking the tops of the houses. The roof across the way is covered with white insects that fly. They're now leaping up into the air, and the sun is shining on them from the right angle so that you can see rain falling down and these tiny little insects flying up. And I'm being called by my son. I'm in the basement. Here he is. Hey! Hi, Keats. What are you up to? Where's your grandma?
Yeah.
She's somewhere up here.
Where?
Come on, I'm up here. Let's go.
Oh, she's taking you somewhere. Where is she taking you? Are you going swimming? Are you wearing your Batman pants? Keats is 3 years old and squirming around. How are you feeling today, Keats? He's grabbed onto my arm. And my hands. He's squeezing. Keats, tell me about what you did today. He's trying to eat the radio microphone. So let's pretend you ate the microphone. How does it taste? Okay. All right, I think Grandma's calling you. I think she's ready. Do you feel ready?
No,
got your sunglasses?
I don't feel ready.
What do you need to feel ready, do you think? Oh, take what? Some, get a car or something, put it in a bag. Mm. Car, some people, put them in a bag. We'll get your sandals. You want to get your sandals, and I'll put them on for you? Go run over, grab your sandals.
When you sit backwards, hi.
Hello. You want to see what happens when you sit backwards?
Yeah.
Where are you sitting backwards?
Because I want to see what bed blah 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 was.
You want to see what happens, huh? Well, if you sit backwards on the stairs, you might fall down the stairs because there's nothing behind you to support you.
Now, if you bump into an eye, then I will hold you on tight. I will say, what you little land, how they come down, little land. I said, but I went before to fall, when I hold on, little.
Can you tell me, can you describe that to me again? You were talking about holding on to an eye. You're talking about eyeglasses?
No eyes.
Like eyeballs?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, and then what?
I feel eyes, and then they ate eyes.
Oh, you felt eyes and then you ate eyes, huh?
I felt eyes and then ate eyes.
Okay, there's one shoe on. Now here comes the next one. Oh. A little Velcro sandal. And doing the clip here. Great.
No, put them. Well, where's Grandma?
Let's go see.
Grandma! Are you down here? Are you out here?
So what's your favorite thing so far about coming to see Grandma?
Eat Grandma's head.
Grandma's head,
huh? Yeah.
What do you like about Grandma's head?
Eyes and eye mouth.
Her eyes and her eye mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Did you enjoy going to the beach yesterday?
Oh, yeah, then it went under. Blah, blah, blah.
You went under the water?
What?
Did you go under the water?
No, I stayed up water.
You stayed up. Did you float on a log? Do you remember playing with those different boys and you had logs together?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do?
We floated in on the water.
Yeah. And how was the water temperature?
Good.
Great. Was there seaweed?
Yeah.
What did you do with the seaweed?
Eat seaweed.
What does it taste like?
Eyes.
It tastes like eyes?
Yeah.
Have you had eyes before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now you're kicking me. You're hitting me. I see, you're excited? Yep. That's as much as I can do to defend myself. So, Keith, I found those new sunglasses for you.
What?
Downstairs. Yeah. Okay, hey, no mouth, Keats, no mouth. You're a big boy. You're a big boy. No mouth on my leg. Thank you.
Are you coming? Are you ready?
He's ready. He's got his sandals on.
I'm not ready.
Are you guys going to the pool, Keats?
I thought you were going to the park or the beach.
Okay.
I don't go to the beach. I'm trying to break it in.
What happened?
It broke. And I'm trying to fit it. So keep breaking it. Oh. I'm free.
What is it, Keith?
I keep breaking it, but I don't. No wonder why I keep breaking it. I don't know. I keep breaking the pieces. One with the bread, but two not breaking bread. But I want to make a bridge. Let me try this first.
Okay. So you had a bridge, and then it broke, and then you wanted to see how it broke, so you broke it into more pieces?
No, I want to fit it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you wanted to fix it, why were you bending it more?
But because I want to see if I can fit it.
Okay. So maybe if you know how it breaks, you can fix it?
I'm glad that car didn't fall.
You're glad that car didn't fall?
Yeah. That and if the bamboo didn't fall.
All right. Well, so much for that bridge. I'm sitting on a couch here. I'm about to take you on a journey, an adventure, imaginative adventure. Keats, do you want to come on this adventure with me?
Where?
Well, I just tell a story with a bunch of different characters.
Can I go there?
And you want to go there?
Yeah. You can come there. I want to go there.
Okay, it's not a real place. It's just a place we pretend. So, can I tell you a little bit about the place?
Yeah.
Okay. So, imagine a hill.
Yeah.
And the hill is covered with rocks and old pieces of stone. And then, have you picked some toys out?
No, I don't want any.
You don't need any? Okay.
No.
And then imagine that there's a path that goes up this hill. And there's a hole in the path. A big hole in the ground, and it's been covered with a large piece of wood. And you can see crawling under the piece of wood is an insect. But a giant insect. Bigger than any insect you've seen before. As big as 5 people.
What is it?
It's crawling in the hole along next to the path.
What is it? Is it an eye? Is it a bumblebee?
It's not a bumblebee. That's an insect, though. It's more like probably like a caterpillar.
I saw an insect. I slide at the pillar. No, you know what I saw. A bay in the pillar where I was in. Slide, I saw a bay. Bay's butterfly. And the butterfly was talking.
You saw a big, big butterfly at the playground?
Yeah, and it was talking.
What? It was talking, and what was it saying?
Talking to me.
What did it say to you?
It was talking.
What was it talking about?
It's an eye. It's a monster.
Oh, it's talking about an eye monster?
Yeah.
Well, so imagine if the path leads past this insect and into a big old castle that is partly collapsed. And inside that castle lives a monster with a big eye, like a giant floating eyeball.
Fritz telling the story about a lion floating high down.
So, and then imagine if going into this castle to explore and meet this monster is a group of people. And some of them are friends and some are kind of not as friendly, but they're all decided they're going to try to work together.
Do they bite?
They don't really bite, but they have some of them have swords, some of them have magical spells, and some of them have bows and arrows in order to protect themselves from the monsters.
But when I walk into a castle, I bring a big sword.
You bring a big sword when you go into a castle?
Yeah. And when the monster tries to eat me, I did the pointy part. And when the monster eat me, I put the pointy part into his hand.
Oh, you stab him in the hand with the pointy part of your sword?
Are you opening that?
Yeah.
How did it open?
Well, it was locked, and now I opened the door. And it's just like the castle. In the front of the castle, there's a big door, and the door is locked, and they don't know how to get in. How do you think they should get in?
No.
How do you think they should go into the castle?
They just bring sword, and they bring the penalty, and they can unlock it.
They bring a special key, and they can unlock the door?
Yeah.
Where?
How do you get down there?
Oh, how could you get down these stairs?
Yeah, no, how did it say down there?
Oh, down by the side?
Yeah.
Well, normally people go down the stairs and walk around. That's how you would get there. Because it's too steep to climb.
Batman!
Okay, Keats, I'll see you later.
Bye.
Lucas.
Imagine if you slammed the feet that fell off into the car, then the car brimmed over, then brimmed over the hide, then I don't have
that. Wait, so imagine if you climbed a tree that fell down onto a car?
Yeah, then it got... Then it went onto a house.
And the car went onto a house?
Yeah, then flipped over onto its eyes. Can you put me in there?
Sure, I can put you in the car seat. There's a giant wind blowing. I'm standing outside. You're listening to Fun with Fritz. The trees are slamming into one another out here. There's a sour leaf, I think it's called, that fell over. It cracked and fell over. It's been very dry. I'm coming to you on location live here. This is a show that goes to the stories. We don't wait for the stories to come to us. And today the story is about a castle with a one-eyed monster inside, or an eyeball monster. It's not a one-eyed monster. And bye-bye! Bye, Keats!
Bye.
And my son, young son, is driving off to go on an adventure with his grandma. We're visiting grandma's house. It's the stuff that fairy tales are made of. And today we're going to embark on our own fairy tale with a kind of maniacal intensity that if you were to look from the neighbor's house, I see the neighbor looking at me and now suddenly looking away, that you'd think, I live in a place where I feel safe, but now I don't know anymore. As you look across the street and you see an enthusiastic, gesticulating person wrestling with a giant umbrella, trying to keep it from opening and putting it down carefully under the trees. So, this is Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Fun with Fritz, and this is going to be a lot of fun. So, when last we left our heroes, there were four. We have four heroes, and they're outside of this castle. And I had kind of entertained this digression of telling the story of the history of this castle. It was built by this woman who rescued a man who had been floating down this downstream and traded him with these other women for their help. And so thus this guy became a kind of like a slave. and together these fisherwomen and this elegant and mystical but strong, hardy other woman, together they built this castle. I think her name was Anaxarax Castellian, something like that. Yeah, the castle builder. So, 1,000 years later, fast forward, and there's a woman running into the castle door, and she's being pursued by these dog creatures, these dog-faced, short creatures with furry legs and a kind of mishmash leather and leather shirts with patches of other of various kinds of hide, including rat, all these rat tail fringe under their arms. And these little fellows, these little creatures, are running after her. But then on second thought, they're not running from her, or they're not running toward to get her, because they catch up to her and they just pass right by her. And in fact, they're being chased by this large man with a giant claymore sword. It's like a sword that my son might take with him into a dungeon to poke people in the hand. And now here come the dice that will help us determine the outcome of various proposed actions. So, Maximilian, I'm Maximilian Overdrive, I'm talking about you. Right, in it. Yeah, I'm crashing over broken bones. You know, the yard is strewn with bones, and there's rocks, and I've got so much momentum, and I'm just pounding so hard, it's like I'm crushing rocks under my step with each stride, like all these dirt clods, you know, I'm like crumbling them down, you know, as I go. Yeah, you're not really heavy enough to be crushing rocks, but I understand your furious intensity. Yeah, and I'm running, and I slip and fall just as I'm like coming and reaching towards it, and I skid, I slide like a dog like whose leg has gotten caught in like a snare, and I slide, and I slide round, and I've got my claymore, as you're whipping, and I'm trying to catch her before she goes in the door, and I lose her. I've been up all night, and I've been alone for a long time, and this woman fell into my arms back at the inn. I don't want to lose her just like that. She's scared, she's frightened. She's okay, I knocked her out, and I put her on the back of my horse, and I rode her up here, and like she's disoriented. She's not sure where she is in it, but I want to help, and I want to make up for it, and I call out, I say, Florsheim de Bogglebeard, companion, help me in my hour of need. And Florsheim, you had been in a bad way with the kobolds earlier. They really hacked you up, and you're sort of on your last legs there. You took a number of hits, and you're at like 1/10 of your strength, you know. But you're wearing your shiny plate armor, and you have your shield, your dented shield, and your warhammer, and a number of the items that you stole from the other group. And you hear, you know, the cries for help from your friend. I hear him crying, calling out for me, but I'm not just gonna do what he says. You know, I'm a dwarf. We have our own code of honor. And actually, there's something about the stone that I think requires examination. I want to learn the history of this building before I go marching in. I mean, we could be walking into a trap, or, you know, it's futile to pursue love. That's what I learned. I got ostracized from my clan, the Debogglebeards, and debuggled off most of my beard, stole away in the middle of the night. You know, I fell for the clan master's daughter, and well, He had 11 daughters, so you wouldn't think that he would mind. But actually, on the other side, daughter number 7, you know, she saw us having an evening swim, which dwarves are fairly forbidden to do. There's a lot of paranoia about the water. Most dwarves don't swim at all. I happen to enjoy swimming, and I've invented a number of strokes relating to floating with a beard in the water that a number of other dwarves are interested in, you know, they live down the river, but they're not toboggle beards, they're hold hats. So I took my ideas to the hold hats with the chieftain's daughter, meaning to imply that I had the chieftain's, or, you know, the clan master's blessing. But, of course, I didn't have it. He was just doing his own thing. And the two of us, when we climbed up the backward stair where the hold hat dwarves lived on the top of their crumbling mountain, well, we looked down, and down far below there was this castle ruin. And the dwarves said, "Now we know that you, Debagabeard, are coming representing the Debagabeard clan, but how can we know that you're worthy of our attention? So we will hold this woman a hostage while you go down to the castle below and retrieve for us the hammer of Helalim." "The hammer of Helalim, all right, okay. That sounded good to me." So I thought I could do it alone, and I came up to this castle, and I was repulsed instantly by the smell. I have a sensitive nose. I corked my nose using the top of a cork from my wine, sacrificing that wine spoiled later, and that's the vinegar smell that you smell now comes from my spoiled wine. It's that same vinegar now that I'm going to use with a rag. And I'm going to light it on fire, creating kind of a vinegar oil bomb that I'm going to throw in the door of the castle. Throw it inside. Boom, it's going to explode. And then the aroma, the stink, it might drive out some of the denizens. And as they come out, I'll lie there as if dead on the outside of the door. When they open the door and they walk out, and as they come to loot my body, that's when I'll strike. So I do that. I run up there, I throw it in, and then wham, you know, shazam. I throw it in there and make sure that this concoction is effective. Now, let's see. So you run up to the door, and you tell the others of your plan. I do. I tell Mirror Man, Cloudhair, come over here.
My name's Mirror Man, yeah. Okay, you know, I kind of glean, I mean, as a super intelligent person, I sort of glean what he's saying. I ruffle my robes. I pull my riding boots up a little bit tighter and higher. I'm going to brush them off, you know, on the body of one of these dead kobolds. I know there's bodies of them littering the entryway there by the stairs, and I want to be clean and presentable. It's a new dungeon that we're going to, and I understand that, you know, we're going to be bashing down the door. There's some kind of plan involved, so I'm going to just stand up just on the other side, so if someone were to come out the door, I'd be standing just, you know, immediately on the wall right by the side there. Well, they won't be able to see me. They'll see the dwarf on the ground. And did I say that right, dwarf? Yeah. They'll see you on the ground, right, Forsham? Yeah, that sounds good. You are backing up my plan. Now, the question is, Foghorn, Pete, where do you stand in the mix? Hello, Foghorn? And Foghorn Pete is a small, diminutive person. He's a halfling. He's a rogue. He hides and sneaks. And at this very moment, Foghorn Pete is
picking the pocket of the members of the other party who are standing there with you. Another magic user, another cleric, and did I write them all down somewhere? Let's see. And another, anyway, basically this is like almost a mirror image of your group, but there's another group. Not to complicate things overly, they catch him trying to pick their pockets. And
I'm Foghorn Pete. I'm the world swimmer. It's true, I swam here from another world, and it's been fun to be here with you guys. Oh, hi. Yes, well, I just picked this up off the ground. I think it's your pouch.
That's my pouch, and you took it from me.
Oh, no, not at all. Actually, if you examine it, you'll see that there are some of my things in there. And I'll open it up, and then I'll try to drop, like, a dead lizard and a couple of gaming dice and a blue figurine in there. These are little trinkets that I have on my person. And
you do skillfully drop those things in. And so when he looks inside and sees his cheese and bread and his pouch within a pouch, along with your things in there, he comes to the conclusion that you took this from him a long time ago. And that's why there's some of your stuff in there, too.
You little thief, you took this from me ages ago. I have a mind to smash your head.
And he, no sooner does he say that than he picks up his cudgel and he's about to smash you.
Oh, okay, I'm just going to run right in the door. I'm going to go into the castle and just run inside and follow me!
And he misses you as you run away. And you slink in, you jump over the body of Florsheim de Bogglebeard, who has tossed in a flaming flask of vinegar into the castle antechamber through the door, and you just leap past him, and you pass by Mirror Man Cloudhair, the magical man whose hair is like a cloud, a cumulus cloud floating on his head, and you pass by him and you slink in there. And as you enter in this room, it's illuminated only by the light from the door behind you, and the door behind you swings wide open, and you see for a moment this kind of grand, or at one point it was a grand entry chamber with a vaulted ceiling, and high up in the ceiling, and one of the rafters, the ceiling has collapsed, and you can see through, and you can see some sunlight up there, and you can see through up to the next level, the second level, and there's a little face poking down at you, and as soon as you go and you make eye contact with this face, it moves away and it disappears, and in the middle of the room is a flaming pool of liquid, and it smells like vinegar. And then you see in the ground, let's see if you notice, you do, you see some tracks of these little creatures going off in one direction, and you see tracks from the woman that you were chasing going in the other direction. And as you approach and as you are kind of taking all this in, the door starts to slowly close and the light that you have from the outside starts to diminish. But as a little halfling, you have a special vision in the dark, and you can see things that are alive. Like, it's like you can see their heat. It's an infravision. You can see everything that's alive, and most of the stuff in this room is cool. However, there's an overturned table in the far corner, and it seems to you that there is someone huddling behind this table. What do you do? And you're listening to Fun with Fritz on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a game. I roll a dice sometimes to see what happens. It's kind of like a storytelling game. It's normally a game you play with a bunch of other people. I'm playing it alone in a basement at my grandmother's house. Actually, it's she's my son's grandmother, so. Yeah. But somehow still it seems like this is the place where the imagination for fairy stories goes to incubate. I'm in a room with filing cabinets. After the children move away, their lives can just get categorized into one of these different cabinets. Their artworks go under the bed and in the drawers. Their clothes and any other clothes of people not present or deceased go in the closet. And the table is a folding one. It's used as a table when people are here, and then otherwise there's empty space. But that may not paint the right picture, because this is a very warm grandmother, kind, gentle grandmother, who is not going to put any children in the oven. But she may fatten them up for other reasons, just so that they're fat and healthy. Fat is a security against starvation. We sometimes forget that in our society today. It's also soft when you're lying on top of each other or sideways, which is part overlapping, maybe just the edge of one leg. So, Foghorn Pete. Little Foghorn Pete, tiny Foghorn Pete, inside the room. On the other side of the door, Mirror Man, you hear Foghorn Pete cry out, "Ah!" A kind of gurgly cry. And you, Maximilian, you've splayed out on the ground there, you know. And the other party runs up to you guys. They trudge up.
"Your thief has stolen my pouch."
"Right. Hi. We haven't met formally. I'm your man Cloudhair. What's your name?"
"My name is Zal."
"I see. Zal. Great to meet you. Zal, look, I think there's been a little bit of a misunderstanding here. And I think we can clear it up. But why don't you guys go first into the room and just meet up with our friend there. And then that's going to be so fun. You guys will have a great time. We'll just come in after you." Zal looks at his companion, who is also... So Zal is like a big fellow with a very dark black hair and very fair skin, almost glowingly white skin. And he looks at his companion, who is extremely tan, kind of an orange flavor tan, almost a fake and bake tan. But, you know, this is like a medieval fantasy setting. So instead of fake and bake, this guy applies a special ointment when he goes to sleep at night and wakes up. It's an ointment that's made from the rind of a fruit. And then he wakes up and an hour before everybody else does and just lays naked on his robes and casts a light spell on himself. And that spell has a photo active agent, or that, yeah, his ointment has some kind of photoreactive agent, and then it turns him sort of orange. However, the side effect of this is that it makes him resistant to fire, so it comes in useful when he uses his burning hand spell that lights his hands on fire and then fires flames out, and it also comes in useful for pulling off party tricks like sitting in a fireplace and having people count to 10, you know, in different languages that they know. Yeah. So, but anyway, he's sitting there and he has a number of different robes in his backpack because when he sits in the fireplace, the robes catch on fire and so on. And he puts most of his hair underneath this kind of skull cap that is flame retardant in order, you know, to protect himself. And it's actually made from the skin of a young dragon. And it's a young copper dragon. So any other dragons that see this just immediately attack this guy on sight. It's something that he just picked up randomly in a bazaar. And, you know, he liked the look of it, and it held all his hair in place. So he decided to keep it. But, you know, it's dangerous. And, his name. See, there's a lot of males. I just realized in all these groups, and there's a lot of females who, you know, created this castle. But this is just by chance as it happened. Now, the orange skinned person is somewhere in between in a transitional stage, or hermaphroditic stage almost, where there's you see what you want to see, male or female, depending on the situation, you know, and the person has certain magical devomars surrounding him and her, and yeah, so, and the name is Patricio, and talks like this. Mirror man, mirror man, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that. Why will go first? Why don't you go first with my friend Zal, the cleric? He'll heal you if you get in trouble. So, Mirror Man, what do you do? Well, I'm a little taken aback. And so I see what I want to see, male, female. Okay, I'll see female and put on my charming smile. And I'll say, why... it'd be great to go in together. Please take my arm. Let's trundle our way in behind the powerful stride of Maximilian Overdrive and Zal, a cleric. And you seem to be convincing and persuasive, and they decide to do it that way. Meanwhile, inside Foghorn, there's a shape behind... behind this table that's turned over in the corner, and there's a bit of a hole in the ceiling, and you saw a guy's head pop away from there, and he's up on the second floor. Like, it's a high ceiling, but there's a second floor of this castle. Most of the second floor has no roof, so you could see his face and then sort of part of the wall behind him, and then the castle. Him or her, you know, is a creature. It's kind of like a lizard, sort of a lizard aspect to the face. Or dog aspect. Might have been one of the kobolds, or it might have been a different creature. It's a bit in shadow, and it was quick, so you didn't really apprehend exactly what it was. But, at the same time, in this room, in the corner, is this large table that's made from one single slice of a tree. A fairly thin slice, but, like, considering it was a big tree... but still about one of your hands wide. And you're small, you're about 3 feet tall, so you don't have super large hands. But anyway, so that's the width of this table, and it's turned over, and whatever was behind it that you saw the edge of, it picks up its head, and then it has these two long, bony protuberances. And then you see what it is. And it leaps. It jumps onto the edge of the table. And it leaps towards you. And the table, like, slides back against the wall. And it's the legs of the table kind of prop against the wall, creating a kind of catapult effect. And this creature just, like, leaps out towards you. And its wingspan growing. Oh, and it swoops down. And it rakes these claws across your face. But you turn at the last moment.
Yeah, I turn away. Well, actually, it's coming towards me, and I feel it coming, and I have this pouch that I've just grabbed, and so I take the contents of the pouch, and I open them, and I slam it with my hand, and it creates like a catapult back effect, and it flies, the little blue sapphire figure like flies and hits it in the eye, and then all these coins from this other person's pouch fly out, and like the bread and cheese confuse it. You know, it thought it was going to come and eat some raw meat, but then it got just processed bread and old moldy cheese. Hopefully it's distracted by that. And then as it's coming down and clawing towards me, I'll roll on the ground. I'll roll furiously away, and as I'm rolling, I'll flip my dagger, and I'll kind of hold it between my toes. You know, I'm barefoot, and I have kind of like a prehensile grip on my foot, and I'll try to jam it. Or maybe if that's a little too monkey. Yeah, you're not exactly a monkey. You know, you're still, I mean, you are barefoot, you're a halfling, that's fine, but you have, you know, human feet. They're just a little bit bigger and hairier. Okay, fine, I can't hold a dagger with my toes, then I'll jam my heels together, you know, and I'll jam my heels together, and the dagger will be there, and I'll kind of flip around, and then as it's coming towards me, whoom, a backspring up with my legs as a kind of, like, spear-like protuberance, and then up goes dagger, oh! And yeah, you miss badly. The creature is distracted somewhat, and by the stuff that you've thrown, and it's not able to bite you because the stuff that you throw gets into its face. However, it does scrape its claws across you. And dear Foghorn Pete, let's see, you take 1 point of damage. Oh, thank goodness, I'm still going. It's my first injury, actually, so I'm doing pretty well. I'm excited, and but
you lose the dagger, but you are able to spring up into the air and avoid the bat's other hand grasping you. It is a giant bat. It has a wingspan of about 9 feet, or maybe 10 feet, and the door closes. Now, a moment later, the door opens, right when your despair is reaching a high point. The door opens, and in marches Maximilian Overdrive, the Claymore on the Moor.
I got up off the ground, and I like, trudge in, and I can't really see in the dark, but, like, I open, and the sunlight, it, like, shines on to this, there's a bat there, and it's a giant bat, it's 9 foot wings, it's like, I'm as tall as I am.
Well, you're actually, you're probably only about 6'7". Here, let's roll. You're 6'8". 6'8". How's that for you?
I'd like to be, yeah, I could be like 9 feet, 8 inches.
Just 6 feet, 8 inches. You're still a human being, you know. I mean, you're tall. You're very tall. I could have rolled higher. You could have been 7 feet tall.
They're like people even taller than 7 feet. It's like 7'7", tallest man in the world. I could be like just the tallest man.
Well, I'll give you another 11 inches based on the boots that you're wearing.
Yeah, oh, I love it. So like 7'7". All right, that's good. That's lucky. Double 7. And I have sort of a number 7. And I've got 7... belt buckles, you know, in various orders around my person, not on my belt, just one there, another one buckling my pockets closed, that's what way I don't have to lose things, and then another buckle, like a buckle fly a belt buckle for my for the middle, for and one for the back. You know, in the Middle Ages style, you have like a flap in the back if you need to go where, so you don't take off your armor. And I've got like a crazy scaly armored shirt, and like you know, I'm wearing like a rabbit in the front and just free legs, you know, my own legs kicking. And I got a nice, maybe some nice boots that I found in the market. And anyway, I'm like a run up, and I'm just gonna take some concentration, but I'm gonna pirouette, if you can believe it. And I'm gonna use my sword as a distraction. I'm actually gonna swing the sword and then let it go. It's like, and it's gonna fly through the air, maybe hit him, and then I'm gonna grab the wing of the bat, and just grab a wing and like pull, take him down. Because as I am sure, like, if I could take him down, and then who can he grab and scrabble at? No one. He'll be down flat on the ground. He's gonna be totally neutralized. And like, I like animals, actually. I don't kill animals, even if they're large size. Just find a way to turn them into my friend. Okay, so your method is to attack him and smash him onto the ground, and then he'll become, yeah, and then he'll like me, like the horse likes me. Okay, well, you run up, you throw your sword at him, and just clatters to the side, and let's see if it hits a foghorn. It does. It unfortunately it lands in a stone, and it lands between the two stones, and it catches little Foghorn Pete's short cape in the stone. So he's pinned to the ground. And then you flail for the bat, but the bat, you know, flails back at you. And you're not able to catch the bat. And the bat flies up about 15 feet off the ground. And next to you is Zal, the enemy cleric. Now, he decides to take this opportunity to leave the room and to run after the woman, you know, run. He sees the tracks on the ground and he runs after her. So he takes off to the right and he goes under an archway and he disappears. And following him is Patricio with a smile and a pat on the arm towards Mirror Man Cloudhair.
Well, I'm not going to let you go just like that, Patricio. Look, well, don't you want to come and stay with me for a moment longer? And I'll grab her hand.
But she escapes before you can grab her. She misses you. You're a little bit too slow. And you notice that in addition to slipping away, you are now missing your spellbook, which originally you had stolen her spellbook. Now, she's also stolen your spellbook. So, you're missing your entire backpack. And she's slunk away with it after Zal. And the two of them run off after Esmeralda, the beautiful Esmeralda, who's wearing a cursed apron. That's right. And that makes her intelligence a 4. Yeah. So they run off after her. Now let's see. Let's just check Patricio's... Well, Patricio, it turns out, is exceedingly clumsy, surprisingly. So on her way, she drops a clue as to the origin of this band, this group. And Mirror Man, you see the clue. You recognize it as a clue because it's a piece of paper, and it has their names written on it. It says to Patricio and Zal, and the names of a couple of their other companions who died earlier, who were killed, I think, by the kobolds. And it describes this castle, and there's a map there of the castle. And maybe she's committed it to memory because they're supposed to turn right and then follow this dotted line, and then that leads to some kind of treasure.
So they have some clue, and it's signed by Castellian. So it's some ancestor, like a G. Castellian, the initial G. So it's some ancestor of the original Anaxarax Castellian who designed and built this castle. So anyway, so you find this, and it's wonderful when you pick it up. It's a wonderful clue when you feel like the story is moving and you're torn between following them and helping your friends. And that's the moment when Florsheim de Bogglebeard barges in and he sees the situation. Florsheim, what do? My friend is trying to wrestle a bat and he's fallen on his face on the ground. He's pinned my other friend with his sword. Now, as a dwarf, I honor friendship first, and I honor swords second. So I'm not going to bother with the sword. I'm going to run, and using Maximilian's body as a kind of ramp, I'm going to run and ramp myself up, and then throw my hammer up into the air and try to hit the giant bat. Hit it square in the face. And you throw your hammer, and it goes up, and it goes up out the hole in the window, in the roof. Unfortunately, you miss, and it just sails away up there. And it is caught by a guy with a lizard tail. Now you can see him better. It's kind of a silhouette of a lizard man up there. And he takes this as an affront, and he throws a hammer down back at you, and it hits you in the head. Boom. Braining you, knocking you down. Yeah, but you are not dead yet. Although you were heavily wounded before from your battle with the goblins. Actually, technically, this might kill you, Florsheim. So, but you are unconscious, and you have a chance of dying, and let's see if you die. You don't. You rolled very well, and you stabilize. You're unconscious. Hit with your own hammer. Your own hammer in the... denting your helmet into your head, and, some blood coming out of your nose. So, you're out for the count. I can't believe it. Wow, what a disaster. The bat swoops down at you, Foghorn. What are you going to do?
Well, this is Mirman here, and, I'm going to, I think I'm going to come back. I'm going to try to help everybody right now, and, I've already cast my spell, I think, for the day. But I'm going to just go ahead and... I've got that paralysis gland, and I'm going to dip my dagger into it. And as the bat is swooping down to catch them, and I notice it's like it's nasty clawed face. I'm just going to rake across its belly with my sword, with my dagger, hoping, desperately hoping, to poison it and... paralyze it, and as it sweeps down, you just totally miscalculate where it's going to be, and you strike for it, and in fact, it grabs Foghorn Pete by the leg, and it picks him up into the air, and you just swung wide, and you totally missed. And Foghorn, the bat flies up with you, and it takes you up into the rafters, and you see that there's an entrance here to the chimney, but the bat has to kind of like crouch and like wriggle to get in there, so it puts you down for a moment while it's wriggling to do that. Well, okay, so I'm way up here. I could jump down.
Yeah, it's about 30 feet, and you might take some damage. It's a bit of a long drop.
I sniff the air,
Well, you can smell a kind of you know, you smell the dust, dusty wood. There's old cobwebs up here. And then you spy, you know, out of the hole in the roof, you can see there's a lizard man up there. And you can see him looking through another hole. So you're looking through a hole at him, and he's looking through another hole, and you can see him looking down, and you see him point, you hear him say something, and you understand this language you've studied. You happen to have studied the speech of people who live in swamps. You spent a lot of your time in a swamp. That's right, that's why they call me Foghorn. You know, I spent time in a swamp, and I speak swamp speech, and I understand that the lizard man has spied the girl, has spied Esmeralda, and he spied her in another room. And I think, oh, that's a shortcut up there. And so as the giant bat is preoccupied with going into the chimney and trying to take me that way and take me to its lair, I am going to climb up this rafter and then make a bold leap for the edge of the hole, trying to grab onto it with my fingers and swing myself up there while the lizard man is also distracted. And I'll try to do it, and I'll try to swing myself up there, and I roll terrifically, and I manage to pull it off. You do roll terrifically, and yes, you pull it off, and let's just see if anybody notices you. They don't notice you. Amazing. You pull it off, you swing yourself up there, and you get up on the roof, and it's not a roof, actually. It's the floor of the next room, and you're up there. And you see downstairs, you see your companions picking themselves up and following in the tracks where Esmeralda went. And as far as they're concerned, you've been taken by the bat. And the lizard man doesn't seem to notice you. And in fact, he's not alone up here. He has a companion who's looking through still another hole at your group. And he draws a large crossbow up, and you can see from the reflection in the shiny steel faceplate that he's wearing. He's wearing kind of like a mask over his face. His eyes are still visible, but the whole bottom part of his face is covered, and so is his neck with this kind of cuirass, this piece of metal that's there to like armor him. And also that he uses as a brace to hold this crossbow that's going to fire like a heavy bolt into one of your companions unsuspecting. Anyway, you see in this reflection that they're entering a room, and that the other party has opened a chest, and they have the treasure, and they also have Esmeralda, and that one of them is behind the door doing exactly the move that Mirrorman Cloudhair wanted to do. And you witness this, and they're about to strike. And what do you do?
Well, I see they're about to strike. It's between, you know, one of the lizards is looking down at Esmeralda, and the other one sees my companions, and they're walking to a trap. And I've got to warn them, and what I'm going to do. And he's about to shoot with his bow, and I'm going to glance around. Is there any? What else is up here on this room?
Well, each of these guys, you know, they climbed up here, so they have like a grappling hook and some rope, some crampons on their feet.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab the rope. You know, maybe it's already secured, and I'm gonna grab it and I'm gonna run, and I'm gonna just, well, he's probably a lot stronger than I am, so I'm just gonna tie the rope around my waist at about, you know, about 30 feet, which is about the distance between where I am and the floor. Maybe just a little bit shy of 30 feet, I hope I estimate well. And then I'm going to run, dive through.
Yeah, what's your intelligence? Let's see if I estimate well. Okay. That bad.
And I'm going to run, and I'm going to dive through the opening towards my friends. Actually, I know what I'll do. I'm going to dive through the other opening towards the enemy. And so I'm going to, like, slide down, and I'll appear right on the treasure chest. Like, I'll just land right there, right in the treasure, among the treasure. Boom! And maybe I'll grab the treasure up, and then I'll swing like a pendulum. And,
well, let's see. Okay, so Foghorn, you run, you leap, you jump, you dive, and you succeed, tune in next week to Fun with Fritz here on Radio Free Brooklyn to hear the exciting outcome. Like...